theme of this month's box is salt and pepper, and we've been talking about why we chose salt and pepper, and, you know, it's like we're thinking it's like the ultimate ship, as my teenagers would call it. So, you know, it's like Brangelina or Bennifer, you know, but we can't figure out what we would call it. Like,
by the way, all couples who have become divorced, so I'm not sure say that salt and pepper is like that.
But do you think salt and pepper will break up?
No, salt and pepper forever,
right?
Is what I'm saying.
You know,
but
and
no.
Go ahead.
I was going to say peanut butter and jelly is another classic. That's not going anywhere. Chocolate and marshmallow to me is always going to be a classic because nobody can say no to s'mores.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. Welcome to Curdcast, the podcast for people who like to eat cheese. Today we're talking about our new pairing story, Salt and Peppa here, which happens to be our August 2018 Curd Box. I'm Jen Mason, founder of Curds & Co. and Curd Box, and I'm here with our favorite guest host, Julie Fafan Balzer. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
Welcome back. We're actually doing this podcast. We're doing this podcast separated this time, so I'm watching you eat cheese, I hope you're going to enjoy our little chat today.
I was going to say, we should explain that we can see each other via video chat. Otherwise, right. The fact that we're doing it separate and you can see me is super creepy.
It is, thanks to the magic of Skype and call recorder and all stuff. And Julie has her own podcast, too, so Julie is an old pro at doing this remotely. And we've been so busy. It has been so hard. I mean, between the two of us, you're doing some television stuff. You've been teaching. I'm looking at opening a second store. I'm moving kids off to college, two different trips to the Midwest from the East Coast. Somebody just bought a house. I don't know who that might be. Somebody was doing some European travel. But
you know what? There's always time for cheese. That's the thing. Like, cheese fits into everybody's life.
Yeah, it's the cheese equivalent of stopping to smell the roses, I think.
Oh, yeah. I will stop and smell some stinky cheese any day.
I love that you like stinky cheese. It makes my job so much easier. So let's just jump in. If you guys are listening and subscribe to Curd Box, you'll know that this is our next box. If you don't subscribe, just listen along. We're going to talk about some cheeses and some pairings, and you'll learn something. And you can always subscribe to our next Curd Box. So, Julie, are you ready? We're going to start with the cheeses.
Yeah, well, I'm a little nervous because last time you plated everything since we were together, and this time I got the box myself.
Okay.
I unwrapped the cheese board that comes with it, and I have the knife, and I have all my cheeses and my pairings here, and I'm awaiting instructions.
Okay, so we're going to start with I want to start with the salt part of salt and pepper. We're going to start with the Sea Hive cheese, and while you're getting that into your mouth and enjoying it, I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. So this is a pasteurized cow's milk cheese from a town called Uintah, Utah. And I think I would spell that wrong every time. It's U-I-N-T-A-H. And it's
Uintah, Utah. That's yeah. Like being named, you know, Jefferson.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? If you were going to get letter stamps or something, you wouldn't need a lot of them. You would only need a few of them.
That's also true.
So we ask them, you know, we ask all our cheesemakers a bunch of different questions so we can put these podcasts together, and we ask them how they came up with the name of it. And, you know, it's a sea salt and honey are rubbed in the rind of this cheddar. It's sort of an Irish style cheddar. I joke at the store when we carry this in the store, I always say this is like the cheese you want to this is like the white Zin of the cheese world. You just like want to hang out with a good book and some girlfriends, or not at the same time, good book or girlfriends, a hammock, and eat this cheese. It's really friendly. But it's an interesting thing. This is going to bring up a point. I don't know if we've talked about this personally yet, but I know we didn't do it on the podcast. And this is a non-standardized cheese, which means, and most of the cheeses that you'll taste in our box are non-standardized. If you were a great big sort of commodity cheese company and you sell a big block cheddar, you want it to taste the same every single time. But our smaller batch artisan cheeses, they don't want to try to do that. They don't want to try to change the recipe every single time so it always comes out with the same chemical compounds. They want to celebrate the fact that there are different cows milking every time they make it. The cows are eating something different because it's winter and they're inside more, or they're eating grass and they're outside more, or it's spring and they're eating flowers.
That's interesting, because that reminds me of wine. So it's like, yeah, you'd say it's the same vineyard, it's the same grapes, but at the same time, it's like this 2011 tastes different than that 2012 because of the weather.
Yep.
Definitely. And whatever else. So I had no idea that cheese was that way, but it does make me consider that buying, that the reason that is both good and bad to buy like from these small batch places is because you sort of don't really know exactly what you're going to get, which is right. exciting.
Which is why we think you should go to cut to order cheese stores, because you should try your cheese. And some people are like, oh, I love it, just, you know, bring it. We're like, it's a new batch, try it. This one could be different. We'll have sometimes we'll have a cheddar that tastes really brothy and almost meaty, and then the next time it'll taste more like pineapple. It really depends on.
Well, that actually reminds everything. Me actually of last month when we were talking about the smoked box, mm-hmm. and there were some pieces where, like, if it's closer to this area, it'll be more smoked. If it's closer to that area, it'll be less smoked. Yep. So that's really cool knowledge. I love that, Jen.
Yeah. So they also call this particular cheese the quintessential Utah cheese because Utah is known as the milk and honey state, the land of milk and honey. And so, one, it's made from milk because it's cheese. And they use a local ancient salt mine, salt from a local ancient salt mine. And they use Utah wildflower honey. So it's honey, salt, and milk, all from Utah, the land of milk and honey. So I think it's just a funny celebration of cheese that's absolutely perfect. It was started by two brother-in-laws. This is like the ongoing story of the cheese world. Two people doing two different things that are nothing to do with cheese. So this is brother-in-laws who are software engineers and real estate, in real estate, both decided they wanted to start a dairy in Utah. And we have this delicious cheese. What do you think of it?
So it's very mild. Mm-hmm. I was looking for the honey. I am not sure that my palate tastes the honey. Like, it doesn't feel sweet to me.
Do you, does your piece, if you eat near like a rind, I'm hoping you have a little bit of the rind, you'll taste it. It's on there more than in the cheese.
Oh, I did not eat near the rind.
Yeah,
let's
so try that.
A piece from the rind.
And when you see the whole wheel, you can see that it's kind of got a salted, interesting texture on it because it's where it is, the flavor is. But the honey is pretty mild. And I like this cheese because what we're going to pair it with, we want cheeses of different profiles. So this is this is just our friendly cheese with a little bit of salt kick to it, and I think, you know, really easy.
This
to
is
love.
The kind of cheese I think I would feel comfortable. I was gonna say I like feel comfortable bringing it to a party because you're not gonna offend anyone. Everyone's gonna eat it. Everyone's gonna like it. It's gonna go really well with like different jellies and different nuts and like all sorts of different stuff. And, you know, I just feel like it's one of those cheeses that is a good, great, like, you're not going to show up and everybody's going to be like, oh, I don't eat that.
Yeah. This is the cheese that lets you put the really funky one on the board, too, because between the two, you'll probably make most people happy and you'll always have something for everybody. Okay. So the next one we're going to go to is the Sergeant Pepper. And this is going to take you to the other end of the spectrum. This is a pasteurized goat cheese. It's a fresh cheese, so you'll see it's not hard at all. And it's totally spreadable. This one comes from Arcata, that is in Humboldt County, California. And the funny thing is that, so the woman who started this company, Cypress Grove, her name is Mary Keene. And Mary was like on this quest to find an alternative for cow's milk for her daughters. She's known and says she was a little bit of a hippie. And she had a neighbor that had goats that they were just using the goats, to like eat the brush. They were using them like lawnmowers. And, and Mary asked if she could milk the goats. And the neighbor, said, and like everybody in the cheese industry knows the story, but she basically said, honey, if you can catch them, you can keep them. And so she did, and she started milking. This is like, in the 1970s, but by 1983, she started making cheese, you know, it's delicious. So this one, well, have you started eating it yet? Sorry, I wasn't watching.
I did. I ate some, and I tell you, right away, I knew it was goat cheese because it's delicious. It has that kind of goat, musky, like, delicious flavor, mm-hmm. and it's a little bit of kick. which I really appreciate.
This is the Peppa.
And when you say it's soft and spreadable, like one of the things that sometimes is frustrating about goat cheese is you want to spread it in a sandwich. You want to spread it in something. And it's like crumbly instead of spready. Mm-hmm. And I can see that this is just beautiful. Now, I sort of naturally have to tell you, I have a natural it's not an aversion, but I just am like, oh, that cheese is kind of orange. It must be fake. So I stay away from it. You know what I mean? And this cheese is kind of vaguely orangish.
Yeah. So it is because of what's in it. So this has harissa, green curry. The chili threads are what's making it red. And then it's got a black pepper kick. And it's funny because when you look at it, I feel like I always think it's going to be really like chili peppery. But I think it's that finish of the black pepper at the end, which always surprises me. I'm always like, whoa, that's not the pepper I was expecting. I was expecting that peppery bite.
Yeah, it's delicious. I can see, like, it would be amazing also with something really fresh, like even spread on celery. Like what I used to do in kindergarten where I would fill celery with cream cheese. This is like be like the grown-up version of it.
Definitely. Definitely. I think, and on like a baguette, you know, this and some maybe arugula on a sandwich could be really
fun. Good. And I have to tell you, the flavors are so complex. I'm glad you said there was harissa in it because I knew there was something I was tasting that was familiar and yet unfamiliar.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it is. It's really just complex and interesting. I really, really like it.
But not too spicy. I mean, it's like, it's got the black, it really to me feels like it has a black pepper kick and not like, you know, a jalapeno kick or a, you know, buffalo wing kick. So this is...
Yeah, it's not like your mouth is on fire. It's a, like, after you've eaten it, you're like, ooh, I feel it on the back of my throat.
Exactly.
Ooh.
Exactly. It's almost, and, you know, a lot of people eat cheese, milk, dairy products when they're eating spicy things to, you know, it's why we have blue cheese with buffalo wings, right? So it's like the cheese that's a little spicy but also cools you off while you're eating it. It's multi-purpose. It's totally multi-purpose. And this is going to be fun when we get to the potato chips. In a little while, this is one we can dip the chips into, which I love.
Is there something that you can't dip chips into? I feel like I could make anything dippable.
No,
but if it involves a potato chip.
But specifically, we wanted the chips in here for that one because having a soft cheese is a special thing. We can do it right now because we have a pickup. This is something we can't ship in our box in the summer, but because they pick it up in the store, we can do the soft cheese now. So we're really excited about that. So, are you ready for a third cheese?
I'm super excited, and there's room on my cheese board for number three.
Excellent. So, and this one, we actually have a little interview, too, but let me tell you first about the cheese. This is Paulette cheese, and it is made in West Paulette, Vermont, which is sort of like in the lower left corner of Vermont, and it's made by Consider Bardwell Farms. This is actually, there was originally a farm there in the 1800s, but it was sort of brought back to life and has been making cheese again, for about 5 years now. It's a raw cow's milk. When you eat it, you're probably going to taste, it's mellow and grassy and sweet and rich. It's just a nice cheese. So we put this one in there to have, this is sort of, plays well with everybody, but is not boring. And if this is yours at room temperature?
I took everything out an hour before, as instructed. It's been sitting on the counter.
So it tastes even better now than it would be right out of the refrigerator, but it's just a nice one. And
is the rind edible? We talked about this last time a little bit, but
yeah, so the rind is edible, but this is sort of a harder rind. I would say most people aren't going to want to eat this rind just because it's a different texture, but it is totally edible. And it's pretty when you see the whole wheel. It's a pretty wheel. So what I love about this, so Consider Bardwell Farm is an interesting farm because they are a farmstead farm. And what that means in the cheese world is they do all three parts of cheese making, which means they have the animals on the farm, they have the cheese making on the farm, and then they age the cheese on the farm. But they only do that for goat cheese because they only have goats. And this is a cow's milk cheese.
I was going to say, this does not taste like goat cheese.
Yeah. So I stopped and talked with, or I called and talked to Farmer Dan, who is the farmer next door, who raises and milks the cows for Paulette. Because I wanted to talk to him a little bit about how they name their cows. I was very curious. And so let's take a listen to that.
I'm Dan Brooks. My wife, Lori, and I run a small dairy farm here in West Paulet, Vermont. We're right next door to Consider Bardwell, and all of our milk goes to the cheese production at Consider Bardwell.
I was looking online. Your wife also makes art when she's not helping making milk. And I saw that you, looks like you name your cows, and I know not every farm names their cows. Can you tell us your favorite cow name you've had?
Oh boy, that's a good question. A lot of our cows were already named when we got them because we bought a good share of them when we came here, and luckily we still have a lot of the original cows. And we generally try to name them a name that we can recognize that what line they're from. So so either the same starting letter for the first name for the name or something similar. So we had a cow named Sticks, and we named her daughter Stones for a couple of reasons, the Sticks and Stones and two rock bands. So
perfect.
That was a good way to remember that was her daughter.
I loved that. Well, and I noticed one of the pictures is named. So I was looking at the artwork, and there's, you know, I think a Heather and a Rosemary, and then there's a Janet.
And, correct.
I was wondering so did you name Janet, or did Janet come with a name?
No, actually, Janet was one of the original cows we have. So she was already named. We have some really friendly cows, like Janet is probably our friendliest and one of our favorites. And she will just come right up to you and rub her head on you and want you to scratch her head. And she's like a big dog. So
now will all of the cows come towards you? Do some of them? I mean, I've been to some farms where I feel like I can herd the cows because they don't want to be around me. So I just try to get closer and I can make them move in the opposite direction. Are your cows just pretty friendly because you guys are around them all, or are some cows friendly?
Actually, we seldom have to drive our cows anywhere. They go into a new pasture every night and every morning. So if I just call them and whistle, they come to where I am. And the trick to that is to always have something that they want when you do call them, because if they figure out you're calling them for no reason, they'll stop coming. But as long as they're always get something at the end of being called, they'll always come.
You know, Dan, this has been so great to talk to you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to tell our people a little bit more about your cows. And
sure.
Thanks so much. I appreciate your
sure.
time.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
I think it's so funny that they have a cow named Janet. It just makes my day. It reminds me of Three's Company or something. I don't know. but I love it. I love it. And I was talking to Farmer Dan as well about his favorite way to use Paulette, and he likes it on a grilled cheese. Okay, so you got to get this. He uses a sourdough raisin bread with some of this cheese, a little mustard, and thinly sliced apples. And he said it is the most amazing grilled cheese. So we might be putting this on the menu for a special day at a.
So what you're saying also is that it melts well.
It does melt well. It's a beautiful melter. It's a really beautiful melter. But a beautiful farm, beautiful, fun people. And it was so great to chat with Farmer Dan. Oh, and Farmer Dan and his wife, Lori, also have an Airbnb. So look them up. They're at Wayward Goose Farm and a beautiful Airbnb. They have five dodgeball players from like Sri Lanka or Singapore coming this week.
Sound like the cows are super friendly, and so that's a plus when you go. They'll everybody, rub up against you.
Yeah, everybody wants to meet Janet, the friendly cow.
Exactly.
All right, so are you ready to start mixing things up?
I am. I have to say, I was trying to distinguish for me what the difference is between this cheese mm-hmm. and the first cheese, since they're both sort of hard, somewhat mild cheeses. Mm-hmm. And I think that for me, this cheese has a slightly more, aged taste. That can be a way of
Definitely.
Describing it.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't feel quite as young as the other one.
You've got it. You hit it on the head. I mean, they're different make process too, but the Sea Hive is definitely young and fresh and bright and creamy a little. And this one is creamy in an entirely different, in like a grown up way.
Yeah.
And which makes it a great melter, which is why it also would be great shredded and used to melt on something delicious, or in that grilled cheese, like Farmer Dan likes it. But I like this one because, you know, we don't want everything in the box to be salt and pepper. We also wanted some of the things to go with salt and pepper. And, you know, this is just a good, she's going to have that person who gets along with everybody. And that's what I think Paulette really is. But you know what also goes well with a lot of things is nuts. You feel like some
Yay!
Nuts? Are you feeling nutty?
I have been called nuts more than once in my life. So yes.
So we just discovered these nuts pretty recently, Lush Nuts. They are out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. And a woman named Becerra, I'm going to mess up the name. We're just going to call her Becerra because we're on a first name basis now. She was just making nuts sort of on a personal level, like one might bake cookies. And then, you know, people really liked them and she developed the recipes. She's got a culinary background and she really just wanted to... make more of them. She uses a Spanish peanut, and I was reading that, and I was like, I don't really know the difference between my peanuts. But I found out that the Spanish peanut is it's the one that usually has red skins on it, like if you're buying them unprocessed somehow. They usually have smaller kernels. And of the different peanuts, there's like Virginia peanuts, there's a whole bunch of different ones, but of the different peanuts, supposedly... when this one is roasted, it is the nuttiest of all the nuts. So this one gets used a lot in like candies and snacks and brittle. So it makes sense that they're using it here. So this is a really interesting one because this is salt and pepper, but the kick will hit you a little later and they're like a sugared nut. So this one kind of reminds me closer to that Sea Hive, that cheese we started at the beginning, which was a sweet salt versus what we're going to taste with our chips in a little while, which was a salt and peppery, savory sea salt. See what
Yum.
I mean? Yeah.
Yum.
So good.
So this is definitely like candied.
Yeah.
But with
that kick.
Not pure sweetness. Yeah.
Yeah. It keeps you.
And like this would be good on salads.
Oh, yeah.
This would be good in my hand. This would be good. This would be good a lot of ways. And I have to say, I'm not always an enormous peanut fan. Like when there are mixed nuts, I often will go for the cashews and the almonds and stuff like that and kind of push those little peanuts out of the way.
Me too.
And saying that, this is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. I really like it. And I think some of it has to do with the fact that she's using the Spanish nuts, the ones that are used for candy, because I do the same thing. But I think these are great. They also make almonds. We'll be bringing some of those in eventually. But I just love these peanuts. I love – and this was kind of, to tell you the truth, the reason we came up – with this theme was this was like the third thing we had seen that we fell in love with, the salt and pepper theme, and we were like, we just need to do this and make this one happen. So I love these because it's salt and pepper, but it's a sweet flavor version of it, which
definitely
is
really sweet,
really fun. And you know, it was fun to learn something new about Spanish peanuts, which I hadn't known before. But this should like is gonna work with
oh my gosh,
what did you just have
best time. I've been trying it with the various cheeses.
Yes.
And I'm so excited. I just had the best combo ever. So okay. I ate it with the Paulette.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I had it with the first one, too, and it was good. But with the Paulette, it was like a mouth explosion of happiness. What
Excellent.
A good combo.
Perfect.
I'm going to do that one again.
Definitely do that one again. Yeah, no, those things are snackable and dangerous. And I would also think about, like, I would love to chop them up. So... that I could sprinkle them on something where that pepper would be like a surprising kit, like almost like on a dessert maybe, and just have that pepper, like just sort of like, what was that? Because it's not overbearing pepper.
Yeah, you know how sometimes you put pepper with like strawberry ice cream or even strawberries or something? Like that would be really nice on a kind of fruity thing to be like,
exactly.
Interesting.
Be all grown up.
Oh my God, that's so good. Jen, that's so good.
Oh, I'm glad you're enjoying that one. I love those. I can't wait to like let you try all the nuts. We got some new ones in the store. You have to come by. Okay, so let's look
I will just say going into your store is dangerous, and everybody should know that,
I'm
because
sorry.
I have never walked out of that store without buying all sorts of stuff because everything is so good and it's so unique. It's really
yeah
you own a dangerous place, my friend.
I know, it's really bad. But look at how cute and little those bags are. See, like, you can't even feel True. Too bad about that. They're True. Good protein,
and look
right?
how they're not resealable, so you have to eat all the nuts.
That's the problem with little bags, is they never are resealable. It's just crazy.
Binder clips are for.
Okay, so let's look at salt and pepper in a totally different way. And let's look at the Route 11 potato chips. So go ahead and rattle that bag.
I can rattle that bag around. Open it on up.
So,
I can see how big the salt is in here.
I know. Give them a smell. They just smell like somebody just fully seasoned something. Totally different, right, from the nuts. Now go smell the nuts. The nuts are like... The nuts don't even smell like salt and pepper now compared
yeah,
to...
Yeah, no, they smell like peanuts. Like, yeah. When I smell the nuts, they smell like peanuts. Yeah. When I smell the chips, I definitely get salt and pepper.
Yeah. So, we were talking with Route 11, and we're talking to them a little bit about why and where and how they came up with this new flavor, because they haven't had a new flavor for 12 years. So, let's take a listen to to our little chat with Route 11.
I'm Vale Henry. I'm the Director of Brand and Digital Marketing at Route 11 Potato Chips.
So I recently heard that this salt and pepper chip, which is brand new, is like the first flavor you guys have introduced in about 12 years. And it's sort of because you've got great flavors and you're invested in making great flavors. But it was instigated by an interesting salt person somebody met?
Yeah, the story is ridiculous. So we were thinking about it for a long time. I mean, 12 years is like half the entire life of this company.
That's
to not
forever.
Come up with the flavor. I know. But we were really looking for that special thing. And, you know, everybody makes a salt and pepper chip. But if you flip over that bag, you've got like 20 different ingredients in it. And we're like, is that really Route 11?
So, yeah, I think that – I'm going to interrupt you because I think that's really interesting, because I would actually, as a consumer, think a salt and pepper chip would have like a potato chip, some sort of oil, and salt and pepper. And it yeah. wasn't until I was reading about these chips that is actually not true of everybody else. So it's so funny that you have to actually promote that this is what we all think we are eating, and we're not smart enough to like turn the bags on the other chips sometimes.
Right.
So turn your bags over, people.
Bingo. But you know, it's a legitimate problem, because a lot of the chips, they don't, you know, the flavor doesn't feel filled out. But we found this crazy, crazy salt. And so there is this seventh generation salt maker. I mean, the company existed then, won like the 1851 World's Fair in London because the salt was so good, and then eventually stopped making the salt. And, you know, these descendants of the salt makers have reopened it, but in a completely different way. So they're pulling this salt from this ancient ocean under the Appalachian Mountains, and they're using solar houses to...
Oh, that's so cool.
I know, so it's super environmental, and they're just letting the sun evaporate out the salt and forms these beautiful white crystals. But this salt is insane, because it's got this complexity to it that you just can't get elsewhere. And so they're operating one of the last salt brine wells in the area, and their production is small, and we were like, we think we love you, because there's so much in common there. Like, they're only making it just a little bit at a time, and we're only making our potato chips just a little bit at a time, and we're both trying so hard to be good to the environment. And the salt is amazing, and the salt on our potatoes with our expeller press sunflower oil, it doesn't need anything more than that, like the big, you know, beefy cracked pepper, you know, like the big pieces where you get the good taste.
Oh, it's so good.
That's all needed. And so this was like, after 12 years, all we did is put salt and pepper in the chips.
It's great.
But it's the best flavor ever. So.
Well, they're delicious. They're totally delicious.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So.
Fascinating, right?
I'm totally fascinated by the whole Himalayan salt thing. Because first, I was glad that she explained that it was like a hidden...
Appalachian.
Yes. Sorry. I was totally glad that she described that it was like from a underground, you know, body of water, because I was like, how do you get salt out of the mountains? I don't sort of understand how that works. But these are, I can see the huge crystals of salt in here, which is really cool. So now I'm going to try the thing that you suggested. I'm going to dip
Okay, you try that, and we're gonna listen. We're gonna listen in on. They even recycle their dirt. Let's take a listen to this part of our talk too. So, talking about being environmentally conscious, I heard you guys recycle the dirt off your potatoes. I need to hear more about this.
Yes, we do. So, of course, the potatoes come. They've kept all the dirt I can at the farm. But we have to wash them. And so when we're washing these potatoes, the dirt comes off and, you know, what are we going to do? Send it to the landfill? It's wonderful dirt from farms. So we take the dirt off our potatoes and community members can come pick it up and use it in their gardens so it doesn't go to waste. I mean, why not? It's one more thing that we can do.
That's so awesome. I love it. Vale, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today and for telling us more about these delicious chips, which seriously, I hope we still have some left before we send out the boxes because I keep stealing bags for lunch. They're
it's
so
you,
good.
You're doing better than me.
I put them on sandwiches. I nibble them all day. But thanks so much. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us and our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great one.
You too. Be well.
All right, so how is that dip tasting? Can you get it? Messy? Now she can't talk. So I'll tell you a little bit more about – so we love Route 11, and I love that there's only the four ingredients on the back of the bag. We also, by the way, are like big lovers of their dill pickle chips, which are amazing. But I like them because they're sturdy, so you can dip them in things. I like putting them on sandwiches. You know, where you get that little bit of a crunch when you're having like a boring turkey sandwich. You're like, if I just put three little potato chips on here, one, especially with the salt and pepper, like I've never thought to salt and pepper a sandwich before, but now that I've had these chips on there, I'm like, I have to salt and pepper all my sandwiches.
Yeah, no, the chips are really good. And I do appreciate the dippable part of them because it's true. I cram them into that cheese and I want to get as much cheese out of there as I possibly could fit on the chip. I was not even about my ratio and it was delicious and it did not crack, which I appreciated too.
Yeah. They're delicious. They're really good.
They're delicious. I'm going to try mixing them with some of the other cheeses because one of the things that I like so much about the whole box thing is that even if one thing goes best with something else, there's still so many other chances to try it. And it is, it's kind of like a fun game to see how flavors change.
Yeah.
Because you sort of assume that something tastes a certain way and then you put it with something else and suddenly you're like, wait a second, I literally just ate that, but it tastes totally different now.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that? I think that's cool.
I think it's great. I mean, and that's kind of the idea when we had somebody pick up one of the boxes and she's like, oh, I don't know what goes with what. And I just emailed her back and said, you know, read the card. Everything in this box goes together, but you can read some other ideas for how to use them. And she's like, she did sort of the forehead hit thing, like, oh, okay. And then it all became new and she became one of our best customers. But, it really is like that whole box is like one happy story altogether. All right. What did you just try?
It is. So now I just tried the first cheese, the, what's that one called? Yeah, the beehive with the chip. And that was really nice, too, because the beehive is so mild that you really – the flavor of the chip sort of takes it, you know what I mean, over a little bit. So then you get the creaminess with the crunchiness.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a really nice match, too.
Yeah.
Everybody's palate is different, too. So that's one of the fun things I think about doing this with someone else too, is that whatever they think, you know what I mean? Like they're like, no, this is the good combination. And you're like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
This is the good combination. And that's always really fun because I like discussing. I mean, the pleasure of food, I mean, part of the reason we want to share a meal with somebody is the talking part of it, is the sharing, is the discussion of like, what did you like? What did you not like? You know, and so this is just a nice way to like have that conversation with someone.
I totally agree. And having the discussion can actually make you enjoy things in a different way. So you have to come in. We've got an Irish washed rind cheese, which is right up your alley called Duris right now. And it led us to talking about another one we have in the case called Roll Right. Both great cheeses, but then we got into this discussion and we were like, oh, well, I think it tastes like sort of yolky, egg yolky and custardy, like the best creamy scrambled eggs you could have. And she's like, are you kidding me? It tastes like roasted peanut shells. And I was like, give me a piece of that cheese. We pulled it out of the case and we tasted it. And I was like, I can never taste this again without tasting that really cool and in a good way peanut shells, like in that salty roasted, like all the good parts.
Mm.
You know, when you like are eating the peanuts in the peanut shell, you have to like crack them open. It just was so good. And I think I now love that cheese even more because we sat and discussed how we each tasted it. And I could immediately taste. So you have to come in for some peanut shell cheese. But no nuts were hurt in the making of that cheese.
Well, one of the reasons I think this podcast is important and the informational card in the box is, so I went to a chocolate tasting recently.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I have to do some of these hard things in order to get through life. But anyway, what I was going to say is, so one of the things that they were very big on is they were like, eating and tasting is not just the experience of putting it in your mouth. There is the experience of like seeing it, of smelling it, of, you know, the sound that it makes when you break it, of the knowledge that you might have about it, that all of that changes the experience of what it tastes like. Taste is not like a linear, you know, singular thing. And mm-hmm. I think that's really cool.
I do too. I do too. All right. I'm going to layer one more flavor on here. The salted watermelon jam. Now you've had membrillo paste. I know you've spent some time in Spain, right? You've had quince paste.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So try this. So this is sort of, they call this their jar of summer. So first of all, it's great. I like watermelon a lot. I'm not a big Jolly Rancher fan. I think I had too many as a teenager, watermelon Jolly Ranchers. And this, I thought when we first got it, I was like, oh, I hope it doesn't taste like, and it doesn't. This tastes like summer. I don't know about you. Do you ever eat watermelon slices with salt? Have you ever tried that?
I don't. I've never tried that. I usually just eat watermelon by itself.
I want to say I must have been at camp or something when somebody told me about it. And you just don't put a lot on it, but it just brings out the flavor. They use an heirloom watermelon for this, and they use sort of a dry conservation style of farming for this. So all of their fruits and vegetables are grown with like the least amount of water as possible. Which is good for two things. One, it conserves water. But two, it also makes the because the fruits don't have that much water, they're more flavorful, right? But the consistency of this is really reminds me of like quince paste and membrillo paste. It's super thick and like you can almost like cut out a piece and pick it up with your fingers. It's not like a standard jam.
It's not even an almost jam. I literally just did that because I'm going crackerless here.
And so this
I stuck my finger in it.
This is made by Friend and Cheese Jam Company. And so they really actually make their jams to pair with cheeses. But I love this. I love it with all three cheeses. It does something totally different, right? From the first cheese, Sea Hive, is just like this sweet little, it's almost like a dessert. With Sergeant Pepper, it sort of battles that heat and gives you kind of that not sweet and sour, but sweet and spicy kind of flavor. And then Paulette just is a lovely bite to eat with it. Sort of the grassiness of the Paulette. You can mix the nuts in, all sorts of things. You should try all the things. But what I wanted to say, one thing I forgot about the salt and pepper chips, which also works with this watermelon jam, is we've sometimes taken the chips and crunched them up also, like you would do a crunchy nut peanuts, and we'll put that on the top of something. So we'll maybe have a cheese and this watermelon jam and be like, it needs a texture, right? And so we can crackle little potato chips on top sometimes and get that crunch that we're like looking for.
Okay,
what you got?
Because I believe in science.
Okay.
I would like to tell you.
All right.
My hypothesis versus what actually happened.
Okay.
So everything I thought would be not good was the best. And everything that I assumed would be good was good, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, the two hard cheeses with this are both delicious. The difference is just, again, the Paulette, because it has that more, I think I've described it as aged mm-hmm. taste to it, the contrast is stronger mm-hmm. between the sweetness of the watermelon and the Paulette. With the beehive one, they just sort of go.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah,
friends,
we go
literally.
Together.
Yeah.
You know, then I was like, there's no way that this Sergeant Pepper goes with this. No matter what Jen says, that is weird. And who would put jelly into a soft go cheese?
Yep.
But of course, I was 100% wrong, and it's amazing. I think that might be my absolute favorite combination.
That's great.
And then I did dip the chip in it because I was like, Jen said I should do this. I'm ready for it to be gross and weird. But it was, again, like, totally delicious. And it makes me think that this watermelon jelly can really take a lot of that pepper spice, mm-hmm. which is so cool.
Yeah.
So I would definitely – I feel like I would make an appetizer for people that – I wonder how many would make it onto the plate. But, like, a little cracker with a little bit of Sergeant Pepper and a little bit of the watermelon together, mm-hmm. and you put out a plate of them, and they would disappear.
Totally. Just, so good. And, you know, this is what makes me happy and sad. So happy that all those things match, but it's always sad that we have to work really hard to get people to think about, like, oh, no, have that salted watermelon jam with that spicy goat cheese and – like, we also do popcorn, caramel corn with cheese, and people are like, I don't know, and then they try it, and then they, like, buy a case of it. It's not necessarily that I need them to buy a case. I just want them to, like, think beyond cracker and dried apple, which are delicious. But, like, there's so much more fun to eat.
There is, and we have food prejudices all the time.
We do.
Like, there are things that I'm just like, I don't eat this, I don't like that, that sounds gross, or whatever it is that you're thinking of. Because even if you said to me, like, salted watermelon jam, I'd be like, okay, thanks so much. I'm going to keep walking. But it's like, as soon as you try it, it's delicious. It doesn't taste salty. The salt just brings out the flavor, as you said. And it's the same with, like, the orange cheese. It's the same with, like, whatever. And one of the things – I do this with art supplies, okay, which is – I like it when people send me art supplies that I would not normally buy, because then I'm forced to try things that make me – you know, that aren't necessarily in my comfort zone, and I discover things all the time that are really exciting. And the same thing is true here with food. Sometimes when I go to a restaurant, I like it when we eat, you know, tapas style and other people pick things, because soon enough, they say something and I'm like, that sounds gross. And then you eat it and you're like, oh, I never would have had this if somebody else hadn't wanted it. And so I think that's the nice thing about the box too, which is it's like, I don't have to have my prejudices against the kind of, like, you know, I'm always, whenever I buy cheese, I'm always like, I only want stinky cheese. I only want stinky cheese. There's nothing in this box that's stinky. And it's all delicious and wonderful. And, like, that's good. That's good for me.
Yeah.
And it's just good in general.
Yeah. Yeah. I think part of the reason you like stinky cheese is because you like flavors. And what we've done in place of putting a stinky cheese in here, which I do love anyway, but what we've done in place is just given you other flavors, other, you know, we've given you complexity of flavor. And you really appreciate that.
It's the complexity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like complexity in people. I like complexity.
Oh, I can be complex, baby. Excellent. So what is your favorite, what is your favorite pairing in the box?
Favorite pairing, hands down, Sergeant Pepper with the watermelon jam.
Excellent. All right. You guys all heard that. That's what you need to try first. If you got the box, if you didn't get the box, you can go to curdbox.com, get the next one. But we may have some of this product in the store for a short time. We're always bringing stuff in for a little bit right after we've had the boxes in the store, because we want you guys to get more if you want it. And let's see. If you want to follow the makers in this box, you can follow Lush Peanuts at Lush Gourmet. You can find out more about Paulette and their other delicious cheeses at Consider Bardwell Farm. You can follow Farmer Dan at Wayward Goose Farm. That Sergeant Pepper cheese, they make so many delicious cheeses. You follow them at Cypress Grovers. At Beehive Cheese makes the Sea Hive, and our salted watermelon jam is at Friend in Cheeses Jam Co. Just a couple more. Potato chips at Root 11. It's RT11 potato chips. You can follow Julie at What Julie Ate, and you can follow me and the Curd Box at Curd Box. And at curdsandco.com. Julie, you are amazing. Thanks for doing this remotely. We'll have to do another box in person. Maybe we can do a little less in our lives so we can eat more cheese.
Right? Well, I'm about to turn off this podcast and eat the rest of this, so I'll eat plenty of cheese.
Excellent. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll talk to you next month.